I'm Simon, and a few years ago, I decided I wanted to make a change. I wanted to create a passive reoccurring income to support me and my family today and a legacy for the future. Fast forward 2 years, and I've managed to generate over £10,000 worth of monthly passive income. All from property. I've set up the business, scaled the business, and now I've systemized the business to free up my time. So join me to find out how I've done it, how others are doing it every day, and how you can do it too. Welcome to today's podcast episode. Super excited. We've got some special guests in the house. Welcome back, Anne and Jeff. How are you doing?
Thank you very much.
Thank you. We're doing great. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Fab. So we thought it was only right just to do a catch up. This is a brand new series that I'm doing, Where Are They Now?, where we catch back up with people that are featured on the show to see exactly how they're progressing. And unfortunately for the listeners at home, we are doing this via Zoom, so we apologize for any audio deficiencies. It might not sound quite as clean as last time, but we'll get the job done. So guys, how's it been going? What's new?
Oh, we have been very fortunate over the last few months. Lots of opportunities coming our way.
We're now on deal number six. We've got seven in the pipeline brewing, but yeah, so far six, and venturing into SA world now.
Wow, amazing. So just as a recap, and I will post a link to the first podcast we did when I came and visited you in Northampton. You was on three deals at that point, so you've managed to double the portfolio, which is fantastic. Six deals, soon to hopefully be seven. What does that look like in terms of cash flow for you at the moment?
Well, at the moment, our five deals which are operating gives us £4,000 per month in cash flow.
The next one should increase that. We will get the 100% occupancy, and with that to be an additional grand, which will be fantastic achievement. So we're working towards that.
Amazing. Yeah, 5K, that's like a big like sort of milestone, isn't it?
It is. Yeah. It is. You know, when you start doing, when you start the journey, you think 5K, will I ever reach 5K? It's such a giant number, you know, it's like only a dream. But now it's like as you inch closer to it, it becomes achievable with your activities, and you know, as a goal, it becomes reachable. So it's great.
Fantastic. So quick recap. So you've done three deals. Do you just want to introduce yourselves and give a little bit of background into who you are, and then we can sort of fast track and then take a look at deals four, five, and six, I guess.
Yeah. My name is Anne. I live in Northampton, and I am a full-time property investor.
Yeah. And I'm Jeff. We're partners, Anne and I. We do property full-time, as she says. Mm-hmm. I also do a bit of organ work on the side, pipe organ work. Anne's now out of her day job and happy as can be doing property full-time.
Yeah.
Well, you know, this guy, I've been meaning to ask this for the last few times we've caught up, but this pipe organ stuff, what exactly does that mean?
So I am a craftsman. I have the skills and ability to make and design pipe organs. These are musical instruments.
Ah, right.
In cathedrals, schools, colleges, oftentimes have them in chapels. And yes. Today I still do a bit of that on the side, mainly tuning and maintenance.
Matt, that's amazing. And do you have like a workshop, or do you do that on site?
I have had workshops in the past. At the moment, I'm between workshops. But property keeps me plenty busy, I'll tell you.
Amazing. Because I think the first time you said that, I thought you meant like something to do with like human organs.
Well, Simon, that's a common No, we're not doing prosthetic hearts and 3D printed tissue replacements. No, we're not sort of that high tech. This is like levers and bellows and old world technology.
Amazing. Yeah, I was like Lucy. I was like, yeah, Jeff's like smart. He's like a brain surgeon. Like he does stuff with organs. I never knew that. So that's good. I'm musical too. I love my music. So, boom. Yeah. So you decided to get into Rent to Rent. Why?
Me personally, or?
Yeah, go ahead, yeah. Jeff.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I got really interested in monetary history and how money works today. In today's world, and I just got interested in assets, how banks work, how the system works, and I felt that I wanted to be more on the right side of things.
Yeah,
if you know what I mean. And so, working with assets, working with property, became really, really interesting to me after I started reading up and educating myself about money.
Amazing. How about you, Anne?
My mom had a block of flats that I really enjoyed just watching her, interact with the tenants, look after them. This was back in Kenya, and that provided her sustenance in her old age. So it was really something I admired, what she did. And enjoyed the aspect of that freedom she had to just have a nice life, to the degree that she did, and have somewhere where the income is just coming without her having to go to a job, in her old age. So that was inspirational to me. And I always thought I could do that. I'd like to do that. So that's where that started from.
Nice. And in terms of Rent to Rent, because I know that there's a story here, and you guys, everybody listening should really go back and listen to the first episode. So I guess this would be the last question I ask you that probably covered on the last one, and then we'll move forward. But, why you decided, and you had an interest and a background in property, Jeff, you started to get educated in money and being on the right side of this financial sort of system. What was it that made you choose Rent to Rent as your vehicle?
Well, I think mainly it's the high cash flow and the relatively little bit of money that you need in on deals.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And it's just the best way that we enjoy doing to raise cash flow in the shortest amount of time.
Mm-hmm. Without having to put down a giant amount to purchase a property.
Yeah.
And wanting to be in the property game already, this was the quickest entry point for us.
Yeah.
Initially we thought we would, find a spot up north and purchase there. But I think with the triggers of lockdown, this is what was the next best thing, and it turned out to be the actual best thing.
Better.
Because we could be local to ourselves and we could be in property at the same time, so it was just win-win.
Yeah, so our strategy is to build up cash flow fast.
Yeah.
And then get into purchasing and owning houses.
Yeah, that's the way to do it, to be ours. The heavy stuff. And obviously you guys came Derby a few weeks ago for the Derby Discovery Day, which was amazing. I think you actually stayed in one of my SA units, right?
That was so much
that
fun.
That was so
really
wonderful.
That.
Yeah. Just seeing your properties, the setup, it's like something, it becomes completely tangible. The locations, your thought process behind that, it just makes it so much more credible that we can actually do it, and just seeing how you've done, and you know, spending the night at one of yours, which was so lush. We really enjoyed that.
That was good.
And
making friends.
That
was so much fun.
That was so good, because meeting people that you are on the same wavelength and just connecting with them on that level was just so powerful for us. Yeah, we really enjoyed that.
Yeah, thanks for that.
Yeah,
thank you. That was a great day. I loved it. And we're scheduling some more events for next year. So I'm super, super excited about that. So you've realized you want to make a change. You've realized Rent to Rent could be that vehicle. You've got into Rent to Rent. You've bagged three deals. If you want to hear more about it, you should check out the previous episode. I'll put the link below. How have you doubled it in such a quick space of time? Like, what's happened?
One thing we did, we would send landlord letters, and we happened to send a letter to one landlord who had a few properties in the area, and they wanted to, you know, test us out because they were in the student market. And as you know, it really struggled over COVID season. So that, I think, helped them test out a couple of their properties and see how they would work by using us as a management company or rent to renters, you know, as it were. So it was a great opportunity to take on two at the same time. And really, I think that just pushed us a bit more to double down a bit. And it's been a fantastic opportunity, but they filled up nearly instantly. We've made great relationships with the people who live in them. And them being local to us as well. I think Rent to Rent just is amazing when it's local to you. And the accessibility and everything is powerful. Yeah.
Yeah, sure. Because they're both 8 beds, right?
The one is a 6 bed and the other one is a 5 bed.
Sorry, no, that's right. I'm getting confused. But I remember when you told me that you was like slightly apprehensive about that amount of rooms. And next thing you know, like you literally like just rented one out like in a day or before you even got the keys, I think, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Anne was able to actually line up all the tenants for one of them before we signed the contract.
Yeah.
Do you want to tell them about that?
Yeah, this one. I had previously was speaking to a local provider. What their company does is provide housing for over 16s. It's a supported living scenario. And they were looking for housing desperately. And on that one day that he called, a landlord had just let them down, was supposed to show up with the keys at the house, and he didn't show up. And they had lined up the staff, the local authority was ready to start sending kids over. So it was a bit of a stuck position they were in. So he called me and he said, "Oh, I'm looking for a property. So do you happen to have any?" And I said, "Actually, I'm just speaking to someone." "Yes. So yeah, I think we can get that for you." It was like literally a few days after we had a small meeting, and on the other side with the landlords, we were arranging, the takeover, and it was just, the timing was impeccable. They were ready to move and we were ready for the keys from the landlord. So that just merged in perfectly. And so we just had one to set up, which was much easier to digest, because doing two at a time is a bit of a mountain. So luckily, when this supported living company took one over, it was easier for us to manage the other one. And so it's been a great experience setting both up and filling them very quickly. The second one got filled before we could even advertise for it. And everyone there is stable and good. So, you know, knock on wood, they'll remain that way.
So that was deal 4 and 5. Yeah, because I'm thinking about the potential other deals you've got.
That yes.
That we've not even considering yet, right?
Yeah, not yet. Yeah.
So they're the 8 beds, right?
Yes. Yeah.
So it could be deals 7 and 8 quickly as well. So I'm excited about that.
Yeah. It's good. It's good that they're in the pipeline. They're right next door to our number two one, and just a few more bits that the landlords need to do. To get everything in place in regards to their mortgages. And once that's completed, that's fantastic. It will be good because we've got a great connection with them.
Another thing worth mentioning about that fourth house is with the supported living company, is that there are tenants for the next 5 years.
Yeah.
And they are the ones handling everything. So it's a completely hands-off situation for us.
So you essentially rent to rent.
Yes.
Basically.
Which I absolutely love. I'm a bit jealous, actually, in fact. So I've not got any of those.
The cash flow is lower, but there's absolutely nothing to do other than check up on them once in a while and make sure they've done their safety certificates. That's it.
Which they sent to us.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Yeah.
Happy days. Yeah, it's always nice to do that. What I mean by that, because I've not got any social housing, but what I mean is certain times it's nice to acquire a property, and even though the cash flow might be lower, you can just box it off. So, you know, in one of my latest deals, we've got a construction company that want to take it. It's for 6 months. They're not too bothered about, you know, regular cleans, even though it is a quote SA. So that basically means we increase our portfolio, we get another £700-800 a month.
Wow.
We don't have to worry about it. We move on. Mm-hmm. So I think it definitely is good to have those in your sort of your portfolio. So I guess at that point, then you've done 5 HMOs, which is like how many rooms?
30. Well, it's more than 30 rooms. It's about 35. Five rooms.
Yeah.
But the one tenant is the company. So it's 30 tenants in 35 rooms.
Yeah. Wicked. And then the 6th deal, you decided to diversify, which is great. So do you want to tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah. That one came out of nowhere due to our friends who are estate agents. So we've got to know them a little bit better. And it's been rewarding, not only making friends, but now that they understand what we do and they fully understand what we have to offer, they actually find our services very helpful. So in this case, our friend phoned us up. I think it was on a Thursday night, mm-hmm. and said he has a 2-bed house near the town center. And would you like to come and look at it? So we saw it the next day. And before we went to sleep on Friday night, we had a signed contract.
Wow.
It happened so fast, so easy. Because we knew him, he knew us, and we knew the area, we were able to make a decision there on the spot that it would be suitable for us. Mm. And it was just like rolling off a log.
Yeah.
Fantastic. So I'm guessing that's going to be an SA, right?
Yeah.
We've got it painted. It was all magnolia initially. So we've got it all painted white, nice fresh carpets. I think this is the most refurb we've ever done in a property.
Really?
Doing all the paint, you know, getting it painted and, you know, doing a 2-bed carpet isn't as bad as maybe it would be if it was a 5-bed property. But having it for 5 years, I think it's worth it for us to have it nice the way we want it to look like.
100%. So have you started marketing that one yet?
No.
Not yet. Should be next week. We'll post the pictures in the group just for people to see, you know, the before and after. But we're quite excited about it because it's completely new direction, and not just new direction, but new set of activities compared to how the HMOs are run. So it should be quite interesting, I think.
100%. So, and in terms of, so when did you sign the agreement, and did you have a rent-free period for this time, or have you been paying rent?
Yeah, we had 2 weeks rent-free period. We've gone past that now. We're just a bit slow with it, but it's okay. We've had other things going on in the background that needed our attention. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we hope to have it up and running.
Yeah.
November 1st.
Yeah. We had another prospect that was 14 beds and were meant to turn into an SA. So it's been a bit of an adventurous journey just to learn how things can be impossible to fit the criteria that you're looking for, and not just to fit, but to stack properly. So understanding how a deal looks like when it does not stack.
Yeah.
When it's that big was a really good learning. So that's how we took that one as. So it's not always smooth sailing. There's a lot of challenges, but it's just understanding, you know, how big a bite you can take.
Sure.
And understanding where the risks are and where the pitfalls are, and just being careful with that.
Yeah, 100%. And I think the great thing about this essay that you're doing now is that I think it's just going to open up a whole can of worms in a good way, because there's so much demand at the moment for HMO and SA. We've literally only got one room empty in our whole portfolio. All our essays, you know, we're doing the biggest figures we've ever done in essays. We've got tons of check-ins on any given day and checkouts, and we're having to restructure and re-systemize. And I've got my mum who's running all the essays now, and I've got people working under her. And I just think once you see the demand for this two bed, I think, you know, I'm expecting massive things. One thing I would recommend if I were you, and I always do this, sometimes get myself into trouble, but I always market my essays ahead of getting the actual photography.
Mm-hmm.
And I just say a disclaimer at the bottom of the listing, definitely on Airbnb, you know, these are example images of the finish. This is not the exact property, but this is an example of our portfolio. Because what you can do is you can then stipulate it's, you know, two beds or, you know, two beds, but you're going to have a sofa bed. You can get big contracts in. So let's say, for example, you've got a company that needs somewhere for 6 months and your place is going to take an extra week.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it does two things. If they say we've got a 30 grand booking for you over the next however many months, you'll soon get it done quickly.
Yeah.
And the second thing it does is if they do need to wait an extra week, but they like your property, they'll sometimes just stay in a hotel for a week and then you can still catch them.
Okay.
So that's a little trick and tip. Although actually I'd done that to a property, saying that it works like most of the time, but I did actually do that the other day with a listing and somebody didn't read the disclaimer and was a little bit disappointed. So I compensated them, and you know, it's one of them, but the demand for SA right now, I'm just like, I always just stick things on, market it as soon as I can, use example pictures, get the bookings in, and you're just going to minimize the void period in my experience.
Well, Mr. Smith, we will take your advice on that. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
And then update us in the group when you get like a 3-month booking and you're like, yeah, I can't believe it.
Yes, fingers crossed, yes.
Well, it's been amazing to catch up. I think it's just your story is so inspirational. And I think, you know, seeing you go from zero to that 4K with other things going on, with a family, with jobs, and now, you know, I know you've stepped back. So congratulations on sacking your boss, Anne. But yeah, I mean, any, you know, what have you, what would you say you've learned since the first three deals? And if you want to just give a bit of, drop some bombs for the audience at home, what, you know, give us some knowledge and wisdom.
Make friends with people in property.
Yeah.
And be like a kid, go out and play with your friends.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's how deals are made.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, once you get educated, then taking action is just one thing. You just have to have faith in. You know that saying that they say, you know, whether you think you're right, and whether you think you're not, you're not. But when you got the education, that comes in with whether you think you're right. So the education has given you the right information. So take action in that direction. But if you think that you're not sure about what you know, ask someone so you can take a step in the right direction. And I think that's, for me, that's now resonating with me, because before you could hear that saying and then you're like, well, it doesn't make sense to me because what am I doing? You know, I don't know what to do. But now I've got the right information. I know what to do. So whether I think I'm right, yeah, I've got the right information. Yeah.
Mic drop, 100%. That's right. I'm a, what's that saying? What is the saying? What is it?
Think you're right.
Well, I like your version of it.
Oh, right.
Yeah, and just dropped a remix.
No, that's a good one with a good message. Mm-hmm. Maybe you're thinking, Simon, of Henry Ford's quote.
Yeah, what's that one?
Oh, that's it.
Or you think you cannot, you're right.
Yeah, whether you think you can or you can't, you'd be right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Something along those lines.
And remixed it, but I love the remix. Message sung true. I love that. Come on. So, 100%. And I think the education and the like, and then getting the proof of concept has just been massive for you, because I've seen it in the confidence and the swagger. And that's something that I'm working on at the moment. You constantly have to work on it, because you end up having these money blockages or these mindset blockages where you think, damn, I've got 40 tenants and how the hell am I going to scale beyond this because of X, Y, this, that, and the other. Yeah. And then you kind of take a deep breath, put certain things into place, and then you're like, oh, okay, cool. And then you scale again and again and again. And I had this massive thing lately where I was like, I don't know, like, if I want to take on, like, more. Like, I just want sure. And then I spoke to the biggest agent in my area that was managing 3,500 properties. And at the time I was like, maybe on, like, let's say, I don't know, 40 or 35 or whatever it was at that particular time I was holding. I was like, hang on a minute. If I'm holding 35, they're doing 3,500. Do I think I can do a few more? I had to slap myself in the face and be like, no. So over the last, and you'll see it if you check my Instagram and the group and stuff, you'll see I've switched on another gear and I've become aggressive in scaling. I've done 1, 2, 3. I've probably done 4 deals this month, I think, now. And
wow.
My aim's 100 properties. Before it was 100 units and we smashed that. And now it's like, okay, now I want 100 properties. So it's like, how do I go from 38, 40, I think it is at the moment, to 100? And not, rather than can I do it, it's like, how do I do it? And the answer to that is going to be systems and extending the team and probably getting an office and probably taking on properties that aren't all palaces, but doing a good job for people and delivering and being flexible. I'm actually going to see a landlord in a minute. He just called me, who, he's given us 4 properties in the last few months. He's got 8 more. He called me, said another one's ready. And I know it's not in the perfect area for me. But just like your 2-bed, you're just thinking outside the box, you know, like, can I do this? Can I do that? And can I scale whilst helping other people? So I'm super, super excited to have you on the podcast again. You're absolutely smashing it. If you've got Any questions or feedback for Anne and Jeff, you should jump on the Creative Cashflow Facebook group. They're very active over there and you can see their journey and progress. And yeah, Anne and Jeff, you guys are absolutely smashing it. Next step is what, 10K a month?
That's the goal.
£11,077 per month.
What does that bring home, net?
Well, we haven't worked that out, but yeah. that's our goal.
Yeah. Why 11,700?
Because it's specific.
Yeah. And if you ever speak to Jeff, he's never like cash flow 700. It's like it's £765. And I know that's a mindset hack. So yeah, I'll let you guys finish it off, sign off, closing comments for the listeners.
Yes. We would like to thank you, Simon, because you've been one of the keys to help us get here.
Yeah. A grateful. Forever grateful.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks so much, guys. I appreciate you. And yeah, thanks very much for listening. If you've not already, subscribe, visit simonsmithonline.com for more information or whatever you do. Don't wait 25 years. Get creative.
Thank you, Simon.
Thanks for listening. For more information, check out simonsmithonline.com. See you next time.